but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, love. Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 13. And I'm just going to take my time today. 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to give you my title here in a second. Romans 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so I'm going to be speaking from Luke 22 today. And I'm going to be speaking about Peter. You can be seated. I'm going to be speaking about Peter and the situation that he's facing in this moment is so very similar to the situation today for us, right now, 2021. And so we're going to see what God has to say to us about this new dimension that God has opened the door for this church to step into. And we've heard about the requirements of holiness, of no flesh is going to be able to, for sure, glory, but even live in this environment. Idols have to be put away. And this is a spiritual moment where, as Brother Mitch said, on the water, you're only going to be able to navigate and walk successfully when you're with God, eyes on him, not on what's going on in the world, not on the storm. What an awesome, when we're talking about repentance, what an awesome picture of how fast repentance works when he yells out, save me. Boom, just like that. That's all it really takes when it comes when we're talking about repentance, and we're even talking about backsliders or even backsliders that have been gone so long that they're actually probably sinners and almost unchurched people at this point, that so quickly God is ready to forgive and ready to renew their walks. Yes. And it's that fast. Save me, and it's all it takes, and he's reaching towards you. He's running towards you before he even sees you. That's a beautiful thing. But I want you guys to think about this, because 2 years ago, Brother Whitley came and he preached in our church prophetically, very prophetically, it turned out, preaching from Matthew 22, I believe. And he was talking about the conspiracy between Herod's people, government, the Sanhedrin, which he titled as the conservative political movement, and then the Pharisees, which would be the religious movement. And that there was a conspiracy against Jesus, the Son of Man. But as it was an election year, he was really saying that there was a conspiracy here in America that we're facing, and it became true. But now we see more and more of the conspiracy right before our eyes, and we can't deny, and it's right glaring in our face, and we're being told it's not there. And so we have literally two different realities going on in our society right now. Rittenhouse, was... Mitch, you're the only one I know in this building that has been in close combat, in a environment where you're killing or being killed. And I dare say that Kyle Rittenhouse handled himself like a veteran beyond his years, like tier one level, the way he had muzzle control, the way he didn't shoot anybody unless they were making a threat towards him. And that was literally like this close to, is he going to be charged guilty when it's so obvious he is not guilty? And we're living in an environment now where if you're a child molester to the point that you search for single women so you can take their children and do the most horrible things to them like Joseph Rosenbaum did, and you can be let out of a mental institution in 15 minutes, be joining a riot to go attack somebody, that person's a saint. Rittenhouse, what's his name? I don't know why I keep saying Rittenfield. Rittenhouse is the bad guy. Just think about that. You have somebody get his bicep shot off because he has a Glock in his hand, pointing it at Rittenhouse, and he's the victim. And so I was very much in prayer and very much worried about this outcome because it's 4 days and it's like this is a no-brainer if you've seen the videos, by the way, that the FBI had withheld. But if you saw all that stuff, there's no question. You hear the news, though, and he's the worst person in the entire world. And all these felons, there's four of them. They've identified the flying kick man. All four of them are felons. If you want to know who riots in our streets, they're felons. All four of them attack this 17-year-old boy who defends himself, and he's now in America. You're the bad guy. You're the white supremacist. You're the evil person, and that's the society right now that we're living in. Just think about the FBI breaking down Moms of America's founder's door with a battering ram to search her house, to humiliate her because she is going up against the student council boards. So the FBI now goes and breaks into women's houses that are involved in that. So four of them in one day. That's our FBI. So that's the kind of environment Peter is living in right here. As things are coming to a head here, and Jesus is about to be crucified. And so there's a heaviness, there's a weightiness in the atmosphere just because of the eternal plan of God, timing coming down to earth and its meeting, and there's always going to be that weight, and there's going to be so much signal in the atmosphere that you're picking up on. But Peter and his brethren don't have the Holy Ghost, so they don't know what's going on, because you wouldn't know what's going on without it. It's John 20, verse 8, I believe, when John says that's the first time they actually believed that he was going to rise from the dead, when they saw that the tomb was empty. They didn't believe he was going to. They didn't understand because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They're in a dimension. They don't know what's going on. They have prophecy that's still going to come to pass, that he's going to set his physical kingdom up in Jerusalem, but they don't realize that he's setting up his spiritual kingdom in this moment, and they can't. But Peter and his and John and James and the rest of them are questioning. When the tensions are tight, now you start to argue amongst yourselves about the dumbest things. Who's the greatest? I mean, Peter, duh. I'll answer that for you. But we're looking at this Passover meal, and you have a conspiracy against them. And it's very interesting that Egypt realized that Israel was stronger than they were, and that they were, that the Pharaoh realized that they, if they tried to overthrow their government, they could. And so what did they do? They put them in slavery. Even though Israel had hundreds of thousands, they were put in slavery by people that were less mighty than they. And so in the Gospels, you're seeing all these people are believing in Jesus. They believed in John the Baptist. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders are the ones that are making those people back up on their beliefs because they're threatening to kick them out of the synagogue. They're threatening to disfellowship them. So you have a small group of people there's a large group here that does believe in who Jesus is, and they've seen his miracles, and they believe. But they're getting dissuaded by this small, tiny group of people in leadership. And it's amazing how we can be in a country where we are the majority, acting like the minority, and allowing very small people to speak over the news and speak into the atmosphere things that aren't true and things that are actually the exact opposite of true. And we find ourselves in a situation where now those people somehow are in charge. And we're in a conflict. But God's put us in this dimension here that we're stepping into that we really have never stepped into before. We really don't know what's coming up. And as we're talking about repentance and as we're talking about the fact that there's instant judgments and that the biggest revivals come, like I said, with Ananias and Sapphira being killed and with the sons of Sceva getting whipped naked by that demonic person, that caused revivals. That caused people to really consecrate themselves and really get serious about. And so in the midst of those kinds of things, and we're thinking about that, could that even be possible now, and would that even be happening now? We're going into an environment where we got to rely completely on the supernatural. From this moment forward, just assume that you've never been this way before. Just assume that now the priests are going to be leading you across the Jordan. Instead of being in the middle of the tribes, now everything switched. Joshua is now having the priests step into that Jordan River. It's overflowing its banks instead of the tribes surrounding the priests as they carry it. And he says, you haven't been this way before. And that is something for us now to realize that we have not been this way before. And so we cannot trust our memories. We cannot trust what we've heard or what we've experienced yesterday, the day before, and what God's done in the past, what we think he can do or what we think he can't do, and what our responsibility is or what it's not, and what the future is going to hold or what it's not. We are in an environment where we're going to have to completely rely on God in order to walk this successfully. And I'm okay with having more responsibility put on me to see greater dimensions of God. I'm okay with there being a weight to this of it's not a free ride anymore. It never has been, but we fooled ourselves into believing it has. And then understanding that it's going to require more time, more of me. It's going to require more my focus being more on what's going on in the spiritual realm instead of what's going on in my life, period. And making those hard decisions and choices and choosing this community as my community. And community being getting together and doing spiritual things with spiritual people, using spiritual words in our homes. All kinds of things. I don't know what God has required of this church and what's being offered, but I do know Peter is sitting here and they've just been offered a cup. And he's talking to them and he's saying, this is the New Testament, my blood. What? We don't understand what's going on. And then he looks at him in verse 31. Well, in fact, right before that, he prophesies to them. It doesn't record it in Luke. It records it in Matthew and Mark. Mark 14:27, he says, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So that's Zechariah 13:7 that needed to be fulfilled. And so when he says that, Peter automatically says, I'm not going to. And that's your first mistake, Peter. I love Peter, but in this dimension here, when the word is going to be fulfilled, it says it must be fulfilled and it will be fulfilled. If you do anything else other than getting in alignment with it, then you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. It was going to happen. All of them were going to be scattered because it was prophecy. Peter goes, I'll never do it. And so then here we go. He says, Simon, Simon. You know, he really says, I'll read it in the New English Translation. Verse 31 of Luke 22. Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has demanded to have you all, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Wow. And so in this moment, Peter sets him up for sets himself up for failure. But God has given him a promise. That's the title of my message. But I have prayed for thee. Woo! I just felt a brush of the Holy Ghost right there. We're going into dimension of we don't know, but we're also going into this dimension with a promise. And it is, but I've prayed for thee. I want that to sink into your soul as I give it to you in Scripture. And so Peter's given that word. And then he says, I'm not going to. The cock's going to crow. They go into the garden. They cannot understand what's going on. If they had the Holy Ghost, they would have prayed like maniacs because they would pray all night long. How long did they pray for Peter to get put out of prison? I'm not sure. But if they had the Holy Ghost in the garden, they'd have been praying. But they don't have the Holy Ghost, and so their flesh is just getting worn out because of that dimension of heaviness. To where I've experienced it one time with angels to the point that it was like ringing in the atmosphere. Oing, oing, oing. And I can guarantee you that dimension that they were in there, angels came to minister to him after he prayed the first time. But the angels and that the heaviness is just where they're tired, they're sleeping, because the flesh is just not, flesh cannot understand that dimension. And so I can't be hard on them at all. If they had the Holy Ghost, they would have rock and rolled that prayer. And they probably would have gotten his way then. But he's praying in the garden. They're over here and they're falling asleep. And that beautiful picture of the voice, the word made flesh, fixing what happened in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and taking our place, actually his heart bursting in that moment, or however you would describe that, with the sweats and drops of blood, and the agony. He's dying right there. He doesn't die on the cross. That's not what does. He's right there in that moment with that, taking on and drinking from that cup of suffering for us to fix this that we broke. He's fixing it. They don't understand. And all they know is that he's their hero, and they know Scripture says that he's going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And so they're ready to be a part of that kingdom on earth. And they're ready for him to take over, to kick the Romans out, to do whatever he's going to do. And Peter has a sword because Jesus told him to have a sword. So he grabbed a sword. And here comes Judas. And Peter has said, I will die for you, because it's the physical kingdom he's looking at. And so when they come, he swings that sword. He's ready to go down in a blaze of glory. And Jesus stops him and corrects him. And he reattaches that ear. And Peter's just, I have no idea what's going on. But he's letting himself be arrested. And all of a sudden, that prophecy comes true of the sheep scattering and they take off. And Peter's probably forgotten by now what the words that were spoken to him about denying him three times. But he's in love with God. He's in love with Jesus enough to where he's going to brave the soldiers. I mean, he just cut the dude's ear off. I mean, I would think people were looking for me if I did that. And but he goes, and John is got his inside contacts, and so John gets him into the courtyard of the high priest's home, and then John is even farther inside. So Peter's there. All the other disciples are, I don't know where, scattered like sheep. But Peter's there, and he starts to warm his hands, and that's when it begins. And they're like, "Aren't you one of them?" And that stumbling there, that when he raised that sword, and that dimension of, this is a physical kingdom. We're doing physical, setting up like King David, his throne, and we're going to rule forever, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be the one that is, I'm Benaiah now in the New Testament. I'm using my sword to defend my king. And now I don't know what's going on, but I'm wanting to just see what's going on. I'm there anyways. And so he denies that he even knows knows him. Doesn't even cross his mind. And it comes again, he denies it again. And when we're in a dimension like this, where we are walking by faith, we live by faith, there's one place to get revelation of what's going on. Just one place. So he does it the third time. And the cock crows. And at that moment, verse 61 of Luke 22, could you put it on the screen? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The place of revelation is in his face. We're not going to get revelation, good or bad. Okay, I'll say that, rephrase that. We're not going to get correction or understanding outside of his face. And it's when Peter locks eyes with Jesus, the Son of Man, that it comes flashing into what just took place. It comes into him, and he is just crushed and begins to weep bitterly. What a moment. But it's God's face that's going to be where we walk in this dimension here. We must seek his face without stopping. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a everyday thing for us, seeking his face so then we can find out what the wicked ways are. Seeking his face so I can find out what God thinks is wicked in me. And it's, like I've said before, it's probably not what we even consider sin, but it's something that gets in the way of me and him, or it's something that he's wanting me to offer him freely as a free will offering. But it's seeking his face, Matt, the only place that we'll get more understanding in this dimension here. Otherwise, we're going to be running wild without even knowing what's going on. But you think that's all that look meant? Those eyes locking on Peter. Was that all? Was that all? Just so he could realize that the cock had crowed and he had denied him three times? Was that all for Peter? Because he had just said, but I prayed for you. And then he had said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In the midst of that correction, that those eyes had just spoke to him, I prayed for you. Satan desired to have you to sift you as wheat, but guess what? I prayed for you, that your faith fail you not. So, Matt, it's a done deal. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. I'm wanting you guys to get this dimension in your head, that we do have a high priest. We do have a high priest that's high above all principality and power. And he's interested in one thing. He's interested in one thing. And what he does is he intercedes on behalf of his people. I want you to consider this, that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What's 1 John 2:1 say? Can you give me 1 John 2:1 up there? Thank you. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, we've heard about the advocate in John 14, 15, and 16, right? Who's the advocate? He's going to send what? His Spirit. So the Comforter is how they describe it in John. The Comforter, the Spirit of truth. He's going to lead us. It's the same word as advocate right there. And so we can say Holy Ghost, go ahead if you want to, but it's Jesus Christ's Spirit. It just identified who it is. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that advocate is what? Mediator. So let's look at John 14. We'll just go through those real quick. It's funny, I always waste time printing all these scriptures out that I never ever look at or use. It's amazing. So let's go 16, 17, and 26 in John 14. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that ye may abide with you, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16, starting at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me of mine, shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost is what? Put that up there again, Kendra, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, for when? Yes. Not trick questions. Sorry. Is that plain enough for you? Have you ever thought of the fact that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that maybe Jesus Christ the righteous is saying, Satan's desired to sift you as wheat, Sharon, but I prayed for you. How'd you pray for me? By you allowing me to pray through you. Think about that. Peter, Satan desired to sift you as wheat. You don't know anything yet because you don't have the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to say this for everyone that's going to have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to describe myself in ways like Hebrews 7. I'll just skip to 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that's come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I could roll with that. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, so works is gone, but faith, which worketh by love. Faith, hope, love. But hope is described as the anchor. Of what? Say it loud. What? Of our souls. Hope. So Romans 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You go on. Down to 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Old English, man. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, hope's the anchor of our soul. And so we're waiting patiently with hope. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We always say that, we always put that in the dimension of prayer requests, or we put that in the dimension of something poor me, probably. But have we ever put it in the dimension of, but I prayed for thee? Have we ever put it in that dimension? There is great responsibility in this dimension that God's taken us into. But we have a hope that is the anchor of our soul. And that hope is a spirit that wants to pray through you. And when he's praying through us, he said he is helping our infirmities. I want that to get into your picture there. Peter has no idea what God meant right there, or Jesus the Son of Man meant when he said, but I prayed for you, Peter. All of you guys are going to fall, but I prayed for you, Peter, that your strength won't fail you. And when you are converted, you're going to bring everybody with you. In that moment, he's grieving. He's sorrowful. He does not know what is going on. No one does. They're all shut up with fear because now you got people that are out to kill him. They've got that. They've gotten the edge. They've got what they wanted, and now they're on a roll, and they're coming, and they're not stopping. We're going to take over, and we're going to destroy you. We're coming after everything that you believe in. And if you don't think that's happening right now, if you don't think that is wanting to take place right now, and Peter is, and they are shut up with fear inside their homes because what they thought would happen didn't happen. And even though he's told them, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be dead, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again. In fact, right as I tell you about the fact that you're going to run away, I also said, I'm going to rise again and meet you in Galilee. That's way gone. They don't understand that at all. Because that's what flesh does in a dimension like that. It just gets confused. It just gets full of fear. And it can do nothing but shut yourself up in your home and hide and hope that you are maybe the last one to get taken. You know you're gonna get taken, but maybe you'll be the last one. I mean, maybe if we give up enough, they'll stop. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Maybe if we give up, okay, let's go ahead and say yes to them taking this right away from us. Okay. Let's go ahead and say, because with Rittenhouse, the Second Amendment, was it. If he's guilty, that's it. They're coming after our Second Amendment rights, gone. Do we just give them up? Maybe they'll stop being mean to us. We're talking about people that think that felons are some kind of heroes. And they glorify child molesters to the worst degree. They have someone on the witness stand that was pointing a Glock pistol at somebody and thinks they have the right to tattle on the person that shot him in the bicep. Just think about that. Let's destroy every town. You shouldn't be able to defend it. That's what America's being told right now. And largely, we let it go two summers ago, didn't we? We just let it, not up here, of course, but America did. And so now they're on a roll. Vaccine mandates, they're on a roll. So people are starting to stand up, but there's so much momentum going. And so Peter, John, they're all hiding. The women are brave. The women go they watch him die with John. Because there's only those people that can really handle the heavy things. They can really, like, look in the eyes of the one they birthed and love and watch him die a painful death until he gives his spirit up willingly. But to suffer up there naked, being humiliated for no reason at all, nothing he ever did. And only certain people can handle that kind of dimension in the spirit realm. John and the Marys and Marthas. This dimension here that we're walking in is going to be led by the Spirit. God is going to get victory. America's going to be saved. It is going to be saved. Mitch, do you still feel that? I can't change what God's told me. Mitch has not changed. And so those are my two barometers that I test. God's will for America to be saved, for things to turn around. But we're in a dimension where we can't be cowering in fear. We're in this dimension, I don't know what God's going to require. Or I don't know how bad it will get until things turn. But we can't change except to get more in tune with Him. We can't give in to government, give in to those kinds of mandates that are taking your freedoms away from you. We can't be bold and mighty in God and weak on this side. So maybe that will be the sacrifice. I have no idea. All I know is it's going to be Spirit-led. But God has wanted to give us all a message that He is helping our infirmities. I wanted to say it like this. When you're in the kingdom of God, as long as you react, David, when Nathan points his finger in your face, you're still in the kingdom of God. You can be smoking and be letting God help you get done with smoking and be in the kingdom of God. There's going to be people that are smoking cigarettes still from an addiction that are going to go to heaven because they're walking out the process in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, we'll have to try hard to get out of the kingdom of God in this moment as long as we stay willing to change when we're corrected. God's basically given us a guarantee, Matt, that we won't fail because He's going to be praying for us. And as long as we are sensitive to the chastening, and as long as we respond and make those changes like His Son, there's nothing that's going to stop us. So we're entering a season where we have no idea. We just keep hearing about the importance of repentance, the importance of consecration, that it's going to be completely Spirit-led. And that can be something that when we're looking on it with our own eyes or trying to figure it out with our minds, it really gets either real strange or confusing, or you just start to go, well, I'm pretty sure we've been this way before. Like, sure, we're going to go somewhere deep. Yeah. I mean, Sterling, you know, we don't even have a YouTube channel. And, you know, we can get stupid because our church isn't a couple thousand people. And, you know, I'll stop there because I'm going to start comparing ministry and then I'll get arrogant. So, sorry. We have an awesome ministry team is what I'm saying. Yeah, we do. We do. We don't. Anyways. But this is a real open door, whatever you want to call it, dimension, level, however you want to look at it, that we're stepping into or have stepped into or being offered. And we're in a moment of consecration, in a moment of wow, like this is real. This is like we're actually doing this. Like things are getting real. So I wonder what's gonna happen. And you look at the book of Acts and we try to pretend like we're like the book of Acts, even though they sold all their land and gave it to each other and did all that, like we're not even close. But in that dimension we aren't, you know. See a brother in need and you say, oh, I hope you do good. You have what it takes. John said you don't love him. So that's what I'm saying. But anyways, that's a buzzkill, huh? I don't know what's going to happen. Now, sometimes I don't want to think about what would be required. And I know I have stuff I have to give up, but God's wanting us to get into this with boldness. We have a throne, number one, that we can approach with boldness. He wants us to. That pleases Him. He wants us to act like sons. Just like you said, Jackson, in that prayer meeting, sons shouldn't act like servants. We have plenty of that, don't we? Plenty of that. I serve God, by the way. I don't serve you. Just let's keep that real too, right? We love each other, but I don't serve you. I serve God. Right? Do you guys agree with that? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's where he does his chastening. He really wants to do it through prayer. Mold shape everything through prayer. Reveal, give you your spanking through prayer. Or say you got too big for your britches through prayer. And all of those things, like Peter, who's the prophetic word is being spoken that it's going to be fulfilled. He came to fulfill every scripture that was written about him. So it's going to be fulfilled. And Peter goes, no, it's not. I'm not going to fail you. And butts up his head against the word of God. And we find ourselves in that spot. It's God's will in prayer to take out his paddle and give you a swat or two. And for you to, in prayer, by yourself, go, I'm so sorry. I totally got out of alignment, and I'm getting back in alignment. And thank you for showing me that. And it's between you and me. God wants it between you and me, between him and you. And that's how he wants to do it, with the Holy Ghost. And we cannot fail if we do it through the Holy Ghost, because we have an advocate. We have a Spirit making intercession for us that we don't even know what he's saying or what he's doing. But he's doing it in perfect alignment with the will of God. Perfect alignment with the will of God. Always, always, always when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Think about that. So we know all things work together for good. 31, what shall we then say to these things, Mitch? If God be for us, who can be against us? You got faith, hope, love. Greatest of these is love. Hope's the anchor of our soul. We please God through faith. Faith and hope are so close together that sometimes they switch the words around, like King James in Hebrews 10, 23, I believe it should be hope instead of faith. But it's his love. It's his love that's going to guarantee our faith. It's going to guarantee that our hope, the anchor of our soul, stays in place. It's his love. If God be for us, who can be against us? 34. Who is he that condemneth you? Who is he? That's the question. Who is he that condemneth? Well, let's go to 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Even if it's true, who shall lay anything? No one has any business giving you condemnation, especially some stupid demonic spirit, or especially not you. You have no business condemning yourself. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So here it is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Short answer, nothing. Think about that. In this dimension here, we have a monstrous safety net. It's called the love, Jesus Christ. It's called written in red, however you said it, saying it. I was hoping you'd say it. Okay. Love, written in red. It's the love that tells Peter, before he fails, that I prayed for you, and it's going to be okay. Nothing's changed. We're going to get there. I know you don't understand. Scripture's being fulfilled, and we're going to be good. In fact, you know what? I believe that those three times that he denied God became a signal for him in the spirit realm, and that's why God would do things three times for him. I believe it became his own personal little a moment when he would realize that we're doing something real supernatural here, because he's asked me 3 times now if I love him. He's told me to shepherd his sheep, the sheep of me, the lambs of me. Now he's in a trance in Acts 10, and here comes this all this nasty food to him, and he's like, I've never. If you want to know what kind of Christian Peter was, he had never once eaten something that was against their law. So he wasn't some dumb, like, I make mistakes all the time. He had never once eaten anything unclean. Think about that. That's in that day and age when they had how many thousands of pigs that the Jews had herds of pigs, unclean. He had never, ever touched it, but 3 times. I believe God, the face of God, what we can consider to be, because God in his mercy, do you think God in his mercy would guilt trip Peter 3 times? Do you love me? You failed me 3 times, so I'm going to make you tell me you love me 3 times. That's a merciful God right there. I don't think so. If anything else, it was a signal to him. Like, God works and gives you signals, doesn't he? Like, when you're working in growth with him, he is going to teach you how he talks to you. Once he teaches you how he talks to you, he will never not talk to you that way, or never not in a situation when he does it this certain way. He's not going to confuse you the next time. He's going to continually be working with us, and it's in his face where we're seeing that, getting the revelation and getting the moments of clarity, the moments of understanding. That was a quick moment of clarity for Peter. He understood, it hit him that this had just happened. It hadn't hit him till that moment, till that face. And that's the only requirement for us. It's only, Phoebe, you gave that word, what, 4 years ago? 2017, I believe. I wrote it down. I'm starting to talk like my kids. I wrote it down. So Jackson says it, now I say it. Not making fun of him, I'm just saying. But you're talking about, it was God had said, all I want Sterling Pentecostal Church to do is to seek my face, and I'll be your rest. I'll take care of the rest. You had given a word about that, seeking his face. That's the only thing God wants us to do, is seek his face and be pleased to seek his face, not necessarily asking for things or looking for anything but seeking his face. I can't read those clocks. What time is it? Huh? Okay. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Man, nakedness, that would be a... And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality... That's another thing. Just seeking his face is all we need to do. I'm so disinterested in, like, seeing angels. I want to see his face. I mean, angels be cool, but I want to see his face. It's not my goal to see angels, not my goal to do those kinds of things. I want to see his face as much as possible. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Peter, I prayed for you. In these moments, we are going to fail. In these moments, there are going to be God-ordained places where it's time to prune the branches, and he's going to do it in a safe environment. I prayed for you, Peter. You're going to fail, but this is going to ultimately end in growth for you. And so in this moment for us, we're going to fail. There are going to be moments when God is going to prune the branches, especially for fruitful people. That's the one gift you get from God, according to John 15:2, is you get pruned more than everyone else so you can remain fruitful. And we're going to have moments where we fail because God's allowed it for our growth, or to show us some more of ourselves, or to say, hey, you need to rely on me there, bud. Go in the wrong direction. But when we fail, God's prayed for us. As long as we are in his body, we will not fail. It's going to be growing moments because we are always needing pruning. We grow weeds fast, real fast. And we don't even realize what they are until they're exposed to us, or until he doesn't even expose it. He just starts ripping it off. But he's not doing it because you're in the wrong, or you're being judged, or you're bad, you're terrible, I'm not going to use you anymore. He's doing it so he can put you in another dimension of using you at a higher level, so those things don't hinder you in that dimension. So Peter, you're going to fail. Number one, because you just stood up against what is a prophesied word of God. I told you it's going to come to pass. Number two, because you opened your big mouth and said that you're not going to do it. No one else opened their big mouth and did it. But like I tell you, he tried, right? He tried to do it. He swung that sword. Flesh can't see anything. I want you guys to think about those disciples. We always preach like they're saved. They could not understand anything. He told them so many times what he was fixing to do, and they had no idea. Until that tomb is empty, then they're like, wow, yeah. Well, he did say it like 3,000 times. It's now coming, it's true. I'm starting to understand it, starting to see it. If you want to stumble your way in this moment, if you want to lose hope in this moment, just rely on your flesh. Just try to do it in your flesh. The anchor of our soul, that hope, is in his love. It's in him. It's in him. And it's in praying in the Holy Ghost and his Spirit leading us. And we will not fail. That's such a strong... Do you feel the power of that promise? That Satan, he said... He didn't say like a small demon or a... like. He said Satan with the S... his desire to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. Simple as that. Think of the biggest thing you're afraid of, or the thing that you would be overcome by, or even Satan himself. Just one prayer. One prayer. I can't touch Job. He's hedged about here. He's hedged about there. There's not one thing I can do. Pray Job 1:10 on your family's lives every day, because he has so many hedges around about him that the devil couldn't do anything to get to him. That's what God does with us. So, spankings? Yeah. All of you get ready to get spankings. In this level, we're going to get spankings. But as long as we stay sensitive and in that moment with him, we cannot fail. Romans 15 calls him the God of hope. Now the God of hope, 13, fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just keeps coming back. I have so many scriptures right here that it's his Spirit, and we're allowing his Spirit to pray through us, and we haven't even realized to this moment that there's been moments where he gave us a, I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you, Jackson. I prayed for you in that moment. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, I prayed through you because you were fixing to be an idiot, and I protected you. Can you believe that? Guys look at me like, I don't know if that's okay. Can we do that? That's what makes Mark so powerful when he's resurrected, glorified, and reveals himself. That so powerful that he says, go tell the disciples, and he singles him out, Peter. Can't imagine what that did to Peter's heart at that moment when he was given that, or was told that he asked for you, or told you to go ahead and meet him in Galilee, but he said, Peter, he asked for you specifically. Well, I wonder what that did to him when he's coming to this understanding. Because on the day of Pentecost, he spoke not the normal discourse words. Remember that Holy Ghost he spoke there was the words of like an ambassador, or a highly developed speech maker. The day of Pentecost, That was what the Holy Ghost did through him. And he was a mighty man, God, from that point forward. But he still needed correction. And so he allowed his brother to correct him. He allowed Paul to correct him. And he loved Paul enough to where he mentioned him by name in his last letter. When Paul got to his face and told him that you're being a hypocrite because you're pretending like you aren't going to hang out with Jews or Greeks. And that's not right. And Peter appreciated enough to mention him at the very end. In fact, it's say that what he wrote was scripture. Sharon, I want you to pray that, play that same. God just wants you guys to take a deep breath and realize that, yes, there is a lot of responsibility coming. Nadab and Abihu got zero chances. They're like, I'm going to put my own coals in there and put the incense on. Boom, dead. There's some real responsibility when God's really beginning to manifest himself and fire in the thick darkness and speaking in such a terrifying manner that Moses is like, I'm scared to death. That's good for us. But he also wants you to know that he's prayed for you, Sister Donna. You know what? You want to know what else? Phoebe, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you know God's looking at Bo and he's going, I prayed for you. Toby, I prayed for you that you don't go too far. Donna, I prayed for you. Your husband, I prayed for you. Think about that. Think about the backsliders that we love. The times we prayed with a burden over them and he said, Peter, I prayed for you. They don't know it. We didn't know it until now. Matt, prayed for you. Good days, bad days, we cannot fail in him. You stand. He's going to sing this. I want you to make that personal. I want you to hear him telling you. And all your mess, garbage, whatever, I want you to hear him telling you that he's prayed for you. That your faith fail not. That's a hope that's an anchor in my soul right now. The mysterious work of the Holy Ghost that's revealed slowly and over time, where we believe it does just one dimension, does this dimension, till we find out it does something else. It's inexhaustible, Mitch. Revelation by revelation, this one has got me so confident in our future. So confident in what God's going to do. Because we cannot fail. He's praying for us.